All right, so this morning we are finishing our series on spiritual warfare by focusing on prayer. And as we get started, we're going to do a quick survey in the room. So here's the first question. By a show of hands, how many of you believe it is important to pray when under spiritual attack? Let me see your hands. All right, wonderful. You may put them down. Second question, how many of you feel the urge to pray more when under spiritual attack? Let me see those hands. All right, wonderful. You can put them down. One more question. How many of you know exactly what to pray for when under spiritual attack? All right, that's what I was thinking. The numbers drop off tremendously between question number two and question number three. Now, based upon this extremely official survey that you were just a part of, it seems as though our beliefs about prayer are right, and our urges to pray are right. We believe the right thing. We have the right urges. The issue many times comes back to, what do we pray for? Whenever somebody is under spiritual attack, they will notice that their mind is now not the same place it is normally at. They begin to have these thoughts in their mind, many times accusatory thoughts towards someone or about a certain situation. They find themselves many times having fleshly thoughts. Like, I wish I could tell this person this. I'd give them a piece of my mind. I wish I could have this moment because I want to do this. And it's fleshly, sinful thoughts. Many times when they're under spiritual attack, they'll find themselves saying things to God like, God, I'm just angry and I'm frustrated and I'm hurt and I don't know what to pray right now and I don't know what to do right now. And God, you need to show me what is your will in this situation, because if it's up to me, I just have things I want to do, but I recognize it's not the right thing to do. God, what's your will? What's your heart? What do you want to do in this moment? Prayer is hard enough when life is calm and our thoughts are collected. But whenever we are under spiritual attack, life is chaotic and even simple things now seem to be confusing. What do we pray for when we don't even know where to begin? Now, there's a number of ways we can come at this. You could go to a bookstore and you could pick up the Complete Idiot's Guide to Prayer. It'll cost you $16.95. If you happen to be watching from Canada, apparently prayer is more expensive in Canada. It's going to cost you $24.95 for the same exact information. Now, you could go to a store and you could pick up a book on prayer and just hope that the good people at Alpha Books Incorporated have a prophetic word for your situation. Or you could go directly into the Word of God and see what God says about prayer, specifically in the context of spiritual warfare. Now here's the reason we run to this instead of this. Front cover says, quick and easy ways. God's word does not promise quick and easy, but God's word is going to be a whole lot more reliable in the battle. So our focus is that of prayer. Our context is spiritual warfare. And the question that we are answering today is, what do you pray for when you don't know where to begin? I invite you to go with me in your Bibles today to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, and we're going to spend all of our time in one verse. We're going to be in verse number 18. I'm speaking today on the subject of prayer for the battle. Now, there might be some people already in the room that they're making connection points back to maybe Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans 8, the Apostle Paul said he didn't know what to pray for. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. That verse has brought a whole lot of hope to people in desperate moments. It's good to know the Holy Spirit will intercede when we don't know what to pray for. Praise God for that. But there's another wonderful part when it comes to prayer. Prayer is an opportunity to share what's on your heart with God. Sometimes you just need to talk with the one who can actually change something. So I am grateful to God when it comes to the fact the Spirit intercedes for us, but I'm also grateful that God has given us instructions in His Word about how we can share our heart with Him in prayer. So that's our focus. We're taking this final message, and we're talking about praying strategically and specifically according to the pattern that God has given us in His Word. That being said, look with me, if you would, in verse number 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Let's pray. Father, would you walk us, Lord, through your word. Guide us by your Spirit. And we'll be grateful for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as Baptists, we are not known for using a lot of recited prayers. We have a few, but we tend to move away from liturgical prayers, and we lean heavily into off-the-cuff conversations with God. We pray in the moment about the things that we feel burdened about. Now, that doesn't mean that all other branches of Christianity are the same. Many other denominations have very specific recited prayers that match each different situation a person might find themselves in. So, for example, there might be recited prayers for baptism, for communion, for weddings. Did you know there are recited prayers for how you begin a service and how you end a service? How do you pray when you're sad? How do you pray when you're sick? Like, you name the occurrence, and there's a really good chance there is a recited prayer that a group of believers are bringing before God in that particular moment. Now, while Baptists do not have a lot of recited prayers, it doesn't mean we're totally devoid in this area. We do have a few. So, for example, we have been known from time to time to recite the model prayer. You might recognize it. It starts with this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm not quite sure why Baptists only bring that up for special occasions. It seems like nobody knows that, but it only shows up occasionally. There's another prayer that has adorned many Baptist refrigerators. It is called the Serenity Prayer. I have a thought as to why they're on refrigerators. That's a different story. But in the middle of that prayer, it goes something like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. That prayer has made its way out in a lot of circles. Now, we're also known for having specific prayers, maybe connected back to mealtime or devotional time. I had no idea that apparently having a short prayer as a pastor before a meal now makes you like a target of observation. I cannot tell you how many times I go out to lunch with somebody and they're waiting for me to pray because my prayer is simple. My prayer is, Lord, thank you for the food we're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. And they're always thinking it's supposed to be longer. And I tell people, when people are hungry is not the time to catch up on your prayer life. Like, you have that before you come and meet with somebody. So in the moment, I have a very standard prayer. I'm thanking God for the food, and we go on and we eat. But also, before I have my devotional time each day, I always start with the same basic prayer. Lord, help me to know you. May I be changed by simply being in your presence. I pray the same thing day after day. Now, I share that because most of us have small prayers that have become a regular part of our communication with God. And while we don't want to be going through mindless ritual, we don't want to not think about what we're saying and just say things to say things, there is something incredibly comforting about having a simple prayer that captures what you're wanting to say in that particular moment. And many times, those simple prayers become a starting point for longer conversation. So this morning, I want to provide a simple prayer that, Lord willing, will start a larger conversation between you and God. And this simple prayer is one specific when it comes to spiritual warfare. Now, I need to tell you from the very beginning, this is not a hocus pocus, one size fits all miracle prayer. I am not promising at all. If you pray this prayer, all of your problems are going to go away. And by the way, if that prayer did that, I would definitely charge you all the full Canadian price of $24.95 for that particular prayer. But this is not like a quick prayer to make all of your problems go away. Instead, it is a prayer to begin your conversation with God. So here it is. Lord, help me to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance for all the saints. Let's go through it again. It's very simple. Lord, help me to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance for all the saints. Now that is the actual prayer that it's addressing in verse number 18. And we're going to spend the rest of our time breaking that particular prayer down into four manageable chunks. I want you to understand each part of these four pieces. And each part gives greater clarity as well as direction to our prayers when we are under spiritual attack. So let's begin. Here's the first part. Lord, help me to pray at all times. Now, there are two words that are being used in verse 18 to describe our communication with God. It's prayer and petition. Prayer is a basic term sharing general request. Petition is a specific term for particular request. Now, by using both of those, here's what we find. Here's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. In the context of spiritual warfare, pray generally and pray specifically. Now, what does it mean? Let's say, for example, to pray generally. Well, a person might say something like this. God, I ask for your wisdom in this situation. I ask for your blessing in this situation. Would you help me to act in a way that honors you? All right, very general. Now, there's three parts to that prayer, but it's very general in nature. Now, what does it look like for somebody to pray specifically? That person might say, God, I'm praying for Bob. Bob is upset. Bob is having a hard time forgiving and releasing something that happened years ago. God, I'm praying that you would work in Bob's heart. And Lord, I'm also praying that you would give me the right words to say when I talk to Bob. Because God, I want things to be right. Lord, would you bring the relationship back together? That is being specific within your prayers. That is, there are specific requests related to specific topic with specific people, and you're asking for specific results. Now, there is value in both types of prayer, general prayers and specific prayers. Sometimes the only thing you can think of in the moment is general. You're just like, Lord, help me. By the way, that's a valid prayer. Pray it. If you wondered if it's valid, talk to Peter as he was slipping beneath the waves. He just said, Lord, save me. He didn't get into like a long, drawn-out prayer. It was just, God, help. So there's nothing wrong with those. And by the way, those simple prayers, general prayers, are often the beginning place for longer conversation with God. But there also is a value in having those specific requests. Because when you're praying specifically, one thing that happens there is you can be more targeted in your prayers. And when you pray specifically and God answers specifically, you praise specifically. There's something amazing about seeing how personal God is when it comes to answering prayer. Now, verse 18, it also adds another dynamic. It says, with all prayer and petition. I don't know if you all noticed, but that is the first of four alls that are found in verse number 18. It talks about all prayer at all times with all perseverance for all the saints. Each of those different alls, it adds a different layer of emphasis to what is being described. Now, the first of those is it's saying with all prayer and petition. It reminds us that there's more than just one way to pray. There's formal prayer and silent prayer, vocal prayer, corporate prayer, secret prayer, public prayer, petitionary prayer, spontaneous prayer, planned prayer. It really doesn't matter. The issue is pray in all of those ways. Be engaged in prayer regardless of the path, regardless of the context. Now it takes us to the next all. It says, pray at all times. The Amplified Bible, it says, pray at all times, and then it puts this in parentheses, on every occasion, in every season. That's good, because there's days you want to pray and days you don't want to pray. And you know what this is telling us? Pray when you want to, pray when you don't want to. Pray when you think it's a big issue, pray when you think it's a small issue. Pray when it seems complicated, pray when it seems simple. Pray when your heart's totally in it, pray when your heart is not totally in it. Pray in season, pray out of season, pray at all times. Praying at all times is one of those things that somebody's like, how is that even possible? Like, I mean, does that mean we're supposed to bow our heads and close our eyes 24/7? No. Jesus didn't do that. It's not possible for us either. But praying at all times, here's what that means. It means that we are living in a state of God consciousness. We are living in a place that we are continually aware of God's presence and His desire to work in our lives. So when everything that we see points back to God in prayer, and we're living with the mindset of God is here and God wants to help and God desires for me to pray, when that is our conscious mindset, that means everything around us now becomes a starting point for prayer. When we're tempted, we think of God and we pray. When we're grateful, we think of God and we pray. When we're hurting, we think of God and we pray. When we're sick, we think of God and we pray. When we're overwhelmed, we think of God and we pray. When we are finding ourselves fatigued and not knowing what to say, we think of God and we pray. Every single part of life becomes a prompting to look to God. And when we look to Him, the first thought is, I need to pray. That's praying at all times. What do we pray for when we don't know where to begin? Well, let's just pause and see what we've seen so far. We are to share general as well as specific requests. We're to pray silently and we're to pray out loud. We're to pray privately and corporately and spontaneously. We're to pray in all of these different ways. We are to pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season. Now, we've already found that on the front side of verse number 18. Now, did you know if you pray like that, you are already counteracting two attacks from the enemy? Just praying those pieces. If we are bringing every part of our life before God in prayer, here's what that's doing. One, it's bringing us back in communication with the only one who can truly change any situation we might be in. That alone is going to be a win. But also, if you'll remember a couple of weeks ago when we were studying 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we saw that one of the tactics of the enemy is he tries to fill our minds, consume our time, and keep us focused on anything other than knowing God. So imagine what's happening right now. When that person is in any given situation, in any season, regardless of the context, and they're constantly looking to God and bringing that request to Him in prayer, that means that person is constantly in fellowship with God, constantly talking to God in prayer, constantly in the presence of God. And here's what happens. The more you're with Him, the more you know Him. When you're with Him like that, He gives you this experiential knowledge of who He is at a deeper and deeper level. What do we pray for when we don't know where to begin? We start with, Lord, help me to pray at all times. And here's the next part, in the Spirit. Now, we're going to have to take a moment to work our way into this, and I want to try to come at it from a different direction. So, Brie and I have been married now for a little over 29 years, and we are at that point in our marriage where we've been around each other so long, we are starting to act like the other person. And I'll give you a great example of this. Anytime I get a sale, like a deal on anything I purchase, Bria's first comment is, "You're becoming more like me." Now, apparently for Bria, I never found a deal prior to meeting her, and she might be right. I probably wasn't as conscious of deals at that time. But another one of those is Bria has this idea that I had no ability to talk to people prior to meeting her. So any moment I act even remotely extroverted, she's like, "I'm rubbing off on you day by day." In Bria's mind, I was like in a cave in the Amazon somewhere, never had contact with people prior to us meeting. Okay, now on the other side of that, I will say that Bria has become far more cautious of information since meeting me. And there's a reason for that. It doesn't matter what I hear. I'm like, "Yeah, I don't believe it. Show me the facts. Where's the research? Who paid for that research?" Like, I just come at any news conversation suspicious. So now when Bria says something like, "I don't know if that's right," I'm like, "Yes. You are learning, young Jedi. You are learning." So, like, literally, not only do we find ourselves at that place in a relationship where we're becoming more and more like each other, but the longer you're around the same person, you also start to know what the other one is thinking and how they will respond in any given situation. Let me give you one. This is literally fresh from last night. Okay, so Bria made grilled cheese sandwiches for dinner. Praise the Lord for a good grilled cheese sandwich. And so she put her plate on the table right next to me. And off to the side of her grilled cheese sandwich, she had some extra cheese that was sitting on the pan that was just fried cheese. Oh, if you've never had just fried cheese by itself, it'll change your life. So she turned around to walk back the other direction. I reach over to grab a piece, and without looking, she said, "Don't touch anything on my plate." I sat there like my hands hovering over this piece of fried cheese. And I look at the girls and I'm like, apparently I've done that before. Like, she knew exactly what I was going to do. Here's another one. If we go to certain restaurants, I know exactly what she's going to get. We roll up in front of Chick-fil-A. Here's her order. "I want a number one combo, diet lemonade, Chick-fil-A sauce." Every single time is the exact same order. If we happen to break down in front of McDonald's, I'm going to be trying to get the car fixed. And she's going to walk in and get her a fish fillet sandwich with extra tartar sauce. Why? I do not know. No one knows why she wants that thing. But the issue is, the more you're around, here it is, the more you're with the same person in the same situations, and they give the same response on multiple occasions, you start to know their decision without even having to be told. It's insight through intimacy. The passage says, pray at all times, here it is, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What does that mean? In the Spirit, it means you are praying in concert with the Spirit. You are praying in accordance with what the Spirit desires in that moment. It is, you are praying in that moment what the Spirit desires, what is in accordance with the nature of the Spirit, the will of the Spirit in that moment. Here's the reason that's possible. When we have been with God in prayer continually, as it's already told us, you'll begin to notice that you'll find yourself in similar situations where you're like, "He's already taught me what I need to do here." You can pray in accordance with the Spirit because it's not your first time of being in that situation and having that particular need. So here's what that means. When you're praying in the Spirit, there might be those times when this fleshly attitude comes up and you know good and well the Spirit's going to say, "That is not of me. You need to pray and act in grace." There's going to be those moments that you're so confused about what to do. And there is this nudge, "Come join me in the Word. Come join me in the Word." And you've been confused before, and you felt that nudge before, And so in that moment, you're like, Lord, may you meet with me in your word right now. There's going to be those times when you are so mad and you want to do something immediately. And yet you've been in those moments in the past, and every single time the Spirit says, be patient, wait, let me work. I'll work all things together for good. Let me work. You see, what happens is when you've been with the Spirit and problem after problem, sharing your needs over and over, here it is, you begin to find that in the same situation with the same person having the same response on multiple occasions, you begin to know their desires without them having to just say, here's what I want you to do. It's insight through intimacy. What do you pray for when you don't know where to begin? Lord, help me to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance. Throughout the New Testament, you will find that we are taught to be alert when we pray, and we are to persevere as we pray. Think about the moment when the disciples were with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? Stay alert and pray with me that you enter not into temptation. Alertness and continue to pray. Also, we find that the Apostle Paul counseled those in Colossae to devote themselves to prayer in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. The word devoted means be steadfast, constant, and persevering. Now, that makes sense. When God tells us you need to remain alert and you need to persevere as you pray, it makes sense. If your prayer life is anything like mine, here's the issue. We just get distracted. We get unfocused fast. He's like, pay attention, stay alert, stay focused, don't get distracted. So one, we just get unfocused and distracted fast, but the other thing is we give up way too easily. All it takes is God not answering in the timetable we wanted him to answer in. And we're like, this isn't working. All it takes is God answering in a way different than what we hoped he was going to, and all of a sudden it's the same thing. Well, this isn't working. The issue is we are to keep on praying. We're to keep on remaining alert. Maybe that's the reason why there's multiple parables in the New Testament encouraging us to pray with perseverance. Maybe that's the reason why Jesus tells us, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. We need to be reminded to stay alert and to keep persevering as we pray. This passage gives several compelling charges to believers. There's a call to be alert, that is, stay focused and stay awake. There's a call to see purpose. The Amplified Bible, it says, watch with strong purpose. You don't just like stay alert to stay alert. There's a purpose behind the staying alert. And then there's also a call to persevere. Keep on praying. What do we pray for when we don't know where to begin? Here's the pieces we've covered in this. Lord, help me to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance. And here's the final piece. For all the saints. For all the saints. There is nothing wrong with praying for your personal needs. In fact, the Bible even tells us, in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Nothing wrong with praying for personal needs. But God's reminded us we're also to be praying for others. A major struggle, regardless of the person, a major struggle that happens in spiritual warfare is we can become inwardly focused. You'll know you've become inwardly focused when you can have weeks that go by and every one of your prayers are about your problems. Every one of your prayers are about things bothering you. You're not interceding for others. You're not concerned with others. Like, you're so consumed with everything happening in your life that you're not even looking out at what other people are going through. One of the things that happens in spiritual warfare is Satan will also lie to us and make us think that our problems are so unique and that somebody else around us is not going through things similar, as bad, if not worse. When you start interceding for other people, you'll be amazed as to what people are going through in that same moment. If you stop and you ask five friends this next week, how can I pray for you specifically? You will be amazed how many people will share some things that you're like, I had no idea they were going through that. Do you know why? Because the enemy likes to keep us isolated. He likes us to keep focused completely on self. When we start praying for each other the way Scripture tells us to pray for each other, you begin to see God working in a different way within the community of believers. And there's a closeness that happens because we are bearing one another's burdens and we're walking with other people through hard times. Spiritually mature believers, they choose daily to deny self and to invest in others. They choose to do that. They're not going to be preoccupied with self. They're looking for ways that they can love others and serve others. And here it is, pray for others. Now let's bring those pieces together. Here's this little simple prayer that is being offered in the context of spiritual warfare. And this is straight from Scripture. This is what we're instructed to do. Lord, help me to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance for all the saints. You're like, Paul, but that's so general, I don't even know where to begin with that. Like that's the point. It is general, and that's the place to begin. That's the place to start framing your mind and say, God, would you allow this to be a framework to help me to see the other areas I'm supposed to be praying for, the specifics, the individual needs. Now, when our prayer life matches the description that is found in verse number 18, it's also going to address some of the biggest barriers to victory when it comes to spiritual warfare. These are listed, I believe, in your notes. One of those is prayerlessness. That is a barrier. Distance with God. That's a barrier. Pride and self-reliance, that's a barrier. And selfishness, that's a barrier. Those four pieces are barriers that get in the way of victory within our life. Now, if we follow what is being said in verse number 18, here's what happens. We go from prayerlessness to continual prayer, from distance with God to intimacy with God. From pride and self-reliance to God-dependence, and from selfishness to serving others. Now, if that's the only verse that we are studying for this entire series, if those are the only truths that we are acting on for this entire series, that much truth is enough to radically reshape the level of victory you're experiencing in your life when it comes to spiritual warfare. Why? Because when believers are constantly praying, and when believers are growing deeper in intimacy with God, and when believers are rejecting pride and leaning into God dependence, and when believers are no longer focused on self, and yet they're looking for opportunities to serve others, when those things are happening, spiritual breakthroughs come right behind it. You begin to see God do incredible things, not because that person is more special than another believer, but because they are battling the way God tells us to battle. So, every bit of what we have covered now in a 5-week series is available to every child of God. All of us. I share that because you don't have to walk with Jesus for 20 years before you experience the level of victory we've been talking about. You don't have to have a degree in theology to experience the level of victory that we're talking about. Do you know what you have to have? A personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ and a desire to trust and obey. Trust and obey. I made this statement 2 weeks ago. The enemy will tell you victory is too hard to obtain. That is a lie. The problem is defeat is too easy to accept. Victory is a choice, but it requires us to do things God's way. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in defeat. If you are born again, I've said it multiple times, you are covered in the armor of God. You are surrounded by the armies of God. You are protected by the grace of God. But His victory only becomes our victory when He lives through us as us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for how specific it is, regardless of the context that we are in. God, we ask today that You would give people the encouragement that is needed to continue to pray at all times in the Spirit with alertness and perseverance for all the saints. Lord, may we not just be focused on our own individual needs, but God, would You remind us in those moments of prayer about the importance of praying for others, about the importance of remaining alert, about the importance of persevering, about the importance of bringing everything, regardless of the season, to You in prayer. God, we need You to do that. Would You stir within Your people a greater and greater desire for prayer? And Lord, we'll be grateful for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would look this way for just a moment, we're going to finish our service with a time of invitation. There's going to be some of our pastors and pastors' wives, some different altar counselors that'll be along the front. We're going to sing a final song. But as you've now come to the end of 5 weeks of studying spiritual warfare, the question becomes, what do you do with what you've heard? How long are you going to allow the enemy to bring defeat in your life before you say, that's enough? We get an opportunity to walk in victory because of Christ. So as we have a final song of invitation, I just want to encourage you all, now is a time for you to respond to Him. So if you would, stand at this time. The altar is open, and I encourage you, respond as the Spirit of God leads you.